Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. If you want to turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, we'll begin there in chapter 5 in just one moment. 1 Peter chapter 5. And as you're turning there, I'd like to just say what's already been said by so many people this morning, but just we're so happy that all of us could be here this morning together worshiping God. We are so thankful that we have not only our own members, but we have several visitors with us, and while you're here, we hope that you feel like family. We have one purpose in gathering together here this morning, and that is to worship our God and our Father. We would do that in so many different ways, like the singing we just did, like the taking the Lord's Supper and doing that in remembrance of Christ and reading God's Word. If you remember, we started it last week, so I know it's still very new, but something new we're doing is we're standing during our scripture reading. And that is to give what we think is proper reverence to reading God's Word. We don't want the scripture reading to become just another thing we do or something that is just a minute point in our worship service. That we have God's Word given to us, and it's such a blessing to have God's Word. And we feel like just even the simple act of standing, we do see that in the Bible, standing there reading God's Word and listening to God's Word. They did it for several hours. We're only doing it for about 30 seconds. But we feel like that is something that we can just take a break, take a moment, stand up, and give some more respect to God while we read His Word. And so just a reminder of that. You know, we are in election season, if you haven't been able to tell by now. And what that means is somebody is going to be the new leader of our country. Whether we like it or not, whether we like the person or not, someone will be in charge of our country. And with great, leadership or a great position comes great responsibility. And when you think about leadership in general, there are people that love the idea of leadership. They love the idea of being a leader. They almost live for the opportunity to lead somebody or to have a position of authority. And then there are people who would never dream of being a leader. They don't want the responsibility. They don't want the recognition. They don't want to be a leader. You have people that don't like leadership in general, that they feel like I should be able to do what I want when I want. You have people who silently lead, who don't think they're a leader, but yet they're leading just by their actions and the way that they speak and treat other people. You know, on Wednesday night, we had a special service where it was a singing service, but what we did was we used it as a checkpoint. And that is, we were halfway through the year. We are 6 months in, 6 months to go. We are in the first Sunday of July now. And what we are doing this year is raising the standard. God has set a standard in place for what He expects of each and every single one of us. What are we doing to raise ourselves to that standard, to live that standard every day? So the first quarter we looked at the idea of raising our standard in our service, what it means to serve God, serve other people, and to serve God's people. Then we moved our focus last quarter into what it means to raise the standard in our worship. Not just our worship service here, which we did focus on, but the idea of what it means to give God our best, what it means to live every day for God, to have a daily worship. And now we're moving forward. For the next couple months, we're going to look at what it means to be a leader. Now, you might just tune out right now and say, well, I'm not a leader. You know, the elders are leaders, which we'll look at here in just a moment. The deacons are leaders. Or you know, we have so many different kinds of leaderships in our society today. But you might be sitting here thinking that I'm just not a leader. What I hope to prove this morning, and as we move forward with this study of raising the standard in our leadership, is that each and every single one of us here this morning, it doesn't matter if you're in middle school, elementary school, it doesn't matter if you've lived a full life, you're in your 90s, every one of us is a leader in some way, shape, or form. But what does that look like? What kind of leader am I? How do I raise the standard? How do I be the leader God wants me to be? And those are some of the things we're going to look at this morning, and we're going to look at through the next several months. But as we start, everyone who thinks of leadership, and especially leadership in the kingdom of God, because that's our sole focus here, is how do we be leaders in the kingdom? Everyone automatically turns to shepherds, the elders, the overseers. They're the leaders, right? And then so we kind of place them up on a pedestal here and say, those are our leaders, and then there's everybody else. In fact, what many denominations do is they don't even go that far. They say, here's the preacher or the pastor, what preachers are often referred to as. We'll look at that in just a second. And then below them, there's typically the elders. And then below them is just everybody else. What does God expect out of His leaders? And who is the leader of the church? Well, we can explain that answer as simply as, well, God is, and Christ is the head of the church, which we understand that, and we'll get into that in a couple weeks as well. But what does God want from me? What does God want from me in the kingdom? If I can't be an elder, does that mean I can't be a leader? If I can't be a deacon, does it mean that I should give up my hopes on being a leader in the kingdom of God? Let's look at first what God intended His leaders to be. And again, specifically as we're going to read here, He's talking about elders. He's talking about shepherds. But we're going to make some points about every single one of us this morning. Let's start reading 1 Peter chapter 5 and start in verse 1. It says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Now, if you remember some time ago, several months ago, we looked at the idea of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it's a very special chapter. And the reason behind that is, this is one of two places in the New Testament where you have all three terms for what we describe as an elder or a shepherd, the leaders of the church, used right here in these first three verses. Look at it again. In verse 1, who's he talking to but the elders? That's kind of what we just call the leaders of our church, right? The elders. But he uses two other words here. In verse 2, he tells them to shepherd the flock. That's a very important word in regards to our leaders today in the church. And then later on, he says, serving as overseers. He uses all three terms that we use to describe the eldership, the shepherds, the overseers. And the other place is here in Acts chapter 20. You don't have to turn here. This is going to be on the screen. But notice what it says here in Acts chapter 20. Now, this is when Paul is leaving, and he sent to the elders in Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Now, that's in verse 17. That he called for the elders of the church in Ephesus. And later on in that chapter, listen to what he says to them in verse 28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Here, twice in the New Testament, the only two times it happens, we have all three words used for our eldership, used for our leaders. Elders, overseers, shepherds. Let's look at these terms real quick, because as we look at what it means to lead today, all three of these terms don't just apply to elders. I think they apply to every single one of us. The overall term we use for leaders in the church today is elder. If you serve as an elder, that's typically what we always just call them. They're just elders. And I remember growing up thinking that they were elders because they were just older, right? So you had to be old to serve as an elder. I don't know how our elders feel about that, but that's just always what I thought. You have to be old to be an elder. But actually, that's what the term means here. When it's used in the New Testament, that word comes from the Greek word presbyteros, which just means aged or advanced in life. And really, the meaning behind that is they have lived a life. They have seen things. They have life experience with those life experiences and advanced in life, they can make decisions, maybe wise decisions based on things they've experienced or seen in their life. But Paul and Peter use other words to describe these men. One from the Greek word episkopos, which means overseer. We translate that as bishop as well. Which that just technically means a man charged with the duty of seeing things to be done by others or done right. Or one who watches over. One who is a guardian. We read about in the book of Hebrews, which we'll touch on in just a minute, that it is our elders, our overseers, who are charged with looking after our souls. And that's the idea that what it means to be an overseer or a bishop, someone that is charged with making sure things are done right, one who watches over people, they're a guardian. And then we have the word shepherd, or as it's also translated, pastor. See, the preacher is not the pastor. And so many denominations and people today, they'll just say, "You're a preacher? Well, you're a pastor." I can't tell you how many times people find out I'm a preacher and all of a sudden I'm a pastor. Sometimes, I think I've said this here before, people will call on the phone. I like to mess with people a little bit. They'll call on the phone down here in the church and I'll answer and they'll say, "Is the pastor in?" I said, no, they're all gone, but I'm here. And they said, well, who are you? I said, I'm the preacher. You just hear silence for a second as they try to figure that out. I don't do that all the time, but the word means pastor, shepherd. It's the same word. I'm not a shepherd. I'm the preacher. In fact, you look at the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 as he addresses his letter. He addresses it to the shepherds or the elders, the deacons, and the saints who are at Philippi. He didn't include the preacher. Why? Because there's nothing special about the preacher. He's just a member. He's not a pastor. He's not a shepherd. He's not an overseer or a bishop or an elder. But the idea of a shepherd is someone who feeds, who nourishes, who guides and tends to the flock. That is, we are the flock. And that's what Peter was trying to tell the elders there. You shepherd the flock that is among you. You take care of them. You feed them. You nourish them. Guide them. That is, guide them to heaven. Guide them to do what's right. Feed them the Word of God. Make sure they're well nourished in the Word of God and in spiritual things. And you look at, now we could spend months looking at the list that we see in Timothy and Titus when we look at what it means to be an elder and the responsibility and the work of an elder. What I'm going to give you right now is a brief overview of just the work of a leader. And there's, I think, a purpose to this. But when we look at what it means to be an elder or a shepherd, look at what Timothy says and Titus says in their list, right? That's where we get our list. If someone's going to be qualified to be a leader in the Lord's church. And this to me, preachers have done a great disservice in, I think, the Lord's kingdom. Because so many preachers will read these lists and they'll say, you cannot lead the Lord's church if you are not following this list. Now, they mean it in the sense of you cannot be an elder. But what typically comes across is, well, if I'm not following this list, I can't lead. And so people just decide in their minds, I can't be a leader in the Lord's kingdom because I don't fit one of these criteria in the list. But again, what we'll see this morning is each and every one of us can lead. Each one of us has a purpose in the Lord's kingdom. And as Timothy and Titus were starting their list on really the duties of these elders or overseers, each one starts it the very same way. And to me, this is one of the most important, if not the most important, attributes of a leader in the Lord's church. It says a bishop, so there it uses the word bishop or overseer, they must be blameless. Each one starts their list that way. They must be blameless. Some of your versions might say they must be above reproach. The idea of they just have to be good people. They have to be good. They have to be honest. They have to be blameless. They have to be above reproach. They have to be the top of whatever it is they're doing. They have to be somebody that people can look up to. Be above the bottom of what we think is not suitable for the church or not suitable for this world. You have to be blameless and above reproach. That is something higher than the rest, of high reputation. But they need to be above reproach because, look at some of these other duties, they have to feed the church. One of the greatest responsibilities of a leader is to feed the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we read this just a moment ago. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. That is, if you're going to shepherd the church, that is, you feed them and you take care of them. And that's a great responsibility to be an elder or a shepherd or a leader in the church. But they also have to lead. See, that's an interesting thing. Leaders have to lead. Many times, and I'm sure we've all had leaders like this, whether it's a boss or a teacher, leaders just want people to follow. If as a leader in the Lord's church, we are just expecting people to follow, we've lost the focus on what it means to lead. A leader doesn't just sit here and wait for people to follow, but a leader takes charge. A leader leads the church, shows the church. And I love what, it says there, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. If we're going to lead in the Lord's kingdom, we have to labor. We have to work. We have to show people that we understand God's word. We understand God's doctrine. And we work hard. And so we are to lead in word and in doctrine. First Peter would say, not as lords, but being examples. Show people how to follow. Show people how to lead. But in the same time, we're to guard the flock. And that's what the elders are to do. They're to guard the flock. And they really guard the flock from so many different things. Time would again fail us to look at all these things that in regards to false teachers and sin, and all these things that the elders are supposed to guard the flock from. They're to tend to the flock willingly and eagerly. And they're to tend to the flock and take care of them, not by compulsion or dishonest gain, as we read about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. And their overall thing is they're to watch out for souls. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Here's something that's interesting. The leaders of this church, the shepherds we have here, which we have four great shepherds, they have to be watching out for our souls. But there's a reason they're watching out for our souls, and that is they have to give an account. Our shepherds are going to give an account for every single person here that is a member of this congregation. When you look at the responsibilities and the work and the duties of elders or shepherds or overseers, we go through this list and we say, well, obviously, most of us, and the reason we ran through those rather quickly, again, we could spend months on these kinds of attributes, but these things have been preached to death by preachers from long, long ago. And we understand what the role of a shepherd is. And we look at the four men in charge of this church. And if you're visiting with us, you might have shepherds at your church. And you say, well, yes, that's their responsibility. That's what they're supposed to do. But I want to point something out this morning. And I want to look at what it means to be a Christian. And what we're asked of in Scriptures on what it just simply means to be a Christian. Are we much different than what's expected of the shepherds of the local body, the local church? Aren't Christians asked to be above reproach? Now, we might not put it in that words from the New Testament. I don't think there's anywhere in the New Testament where it says, you Christian, be above reproach, like it does elders. But is that not exactly what we're asked to do? When we're told to transform ourselves from the rest of the world, when we're told to act a certain way, be a certain way, do certain things, we're told to be above reproach. We're told to not live like the be something different, be something better. When we are baptized into Christ, we change, we become a new person. Someone that is above the horrible, sinful things of this world. Aren't we told to go out and feed others the Word of God as well? Just like the elders are to feed the church, Jesus told every single one of us to go out into the world, to teach the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You and I have the same responsibility to go feed other people the Word of God. Just as the elders lead the church, aren't we to lead other people to Christ? As we just said in Matthew 28, that's what we were told to do, to go into the world, to help lead people to Christ, to help teach people about Christ and about God. Just as the elders are to guard the flock, aren't we to guard from sin, to guard ourselves, to help guard other people? We have responsibilities when we see other people living in sin to go try to talk to them and pull them out of it. Don't we have that same responsibility to guard our own heart from sin? Just as the elders tend to the flock, don't we as Christians have the responsibility to willingly and eagerly serve God, to help other people serve God, to help teach other people how to serve God? And just as the elders are watching out for our souls, don't we have the same love and care for souls of not only ourselves, but for everyone here and everyone in the rest of the world? You start mirroring these things together and you say, well, we have the same exact responsibilities. Now, yes, the shepherds of the church take it, I think, to a different level, as in they are actually responsible for the souls in this church to lead them to heaven. But really, we have the same responsibilities in our everyday lives, to be above reproach, to feed others, to lead people to Christ, to guard from sin, to willingly and eagerly serve God and care and love for the souls in this world. I love this quote I found, but it says, basically, the role of a biblical shepherd and overseer is to serve. Are we any different as Christians? We expect, let me just put this out here. We expect certain things from biblical shepherds, from biblical elders. We might have unspoken expectations of elders, of the elders of this church. We expect certain things of them. We expect them to act a certain way. We expect them to lead a certain way. We expect them to do certain things, to make certain things available for the children, for the teens. They have a huge responsibility, and we expect them to do their job. And I think rightfully so. That's why the church puts them in a position of leadership. But are the same things not expected of us? Are the same things not expected of every single person here today to serve as Christ served? Christ says that He left an example for us that we should go and do unto others. That is, we should serve other people. Do we not have the same responsibility? It doesn't matter how young or how old we are, to serve as Christ served. To watch out for each other, to feed each other, to encourage one another. That's what's expected of every single one of us. That's why I say, where not all of us can be shepherds of the church based on the qualifications in Scriptures. I'm not taking anything away from those qualifications, but what I'm saying is, all of us can't be shepherds and not all of us can be deacons, but all of us can lead. All of us can see the example that Christ left us, can see the example of the shepherds of the local body of Christ, and all of us can serve and lead. Because the role of a shepherd is to serve. It's to serve God and serve His people. You see, so many times when we think of what it means to be a leader, we think of power, don't we? We think, when I can become a leader, I can receive power. We think of authority. We think of someone that's ruling with an iron fist. We think of somebody that says, it's my way or the highway. And so what's happened through several years is elders in the church have had the same mentality. If I'm going to lead and I'm going to lead the way I want to lead, then it's going to be my way. And it's going to be with authority. And it's going to be with action. And we're going to rule with an iron fist. And I can't tell you how many elders have broken up churches because their mindset is, I'm going to rule my way. Instead, what we see, if you look at those terms again, every single one of those terms, except with the exception of elder, because that just means advanced in life, aged, but it's all about taking care of other people. It's all about leading by example, leading by serving, watching out for the souls, feeding the church, leading the church, guarding the flock, tending the flock, all those things we talked about was about other people, serving other people. Basically, the role of biblical shepherds and overseers is to serve. And are we any different as Christians? To serve God and to serve God's people. I want to look at some areas we're going to look at over the next several months. And I want to look at how each one of us can be a leader even today. Even without the name of shepherd or elder attached to your name or deacon or whatever it is, you can be a leader. Maybe you're not a boss. Maybe you're not in a position of management or something at work. Maybe you're not somebody that people look up to at school or at work. But how can I change that? How can I be a leader in the kingdom today? And I want to look at just a few things before we close this morning. Christians lead every day. And one of the biggest places that we can think of is we lead in the church. Now again, we look at the idea of there are elders and there are deacons. But there are other leaders too. Have you ever thought about every time you volunteer to help teach a Bible class, you're leading? Every time you say, I'm willing to go sit as an adult with other children, children who might not be my own, you're leading. You're setting an example for those children. And you're not just setting an example for those children, but there might be somebody in this congregation that has never taught before, and you're setting an example to them to say, you know what, I'm willing to teach. I'm willing to give up maybe my adult class time. I'm willing to go in there and help these kids. And maybe you can lead by saying, you know, why don't you, young one who's never taught before, come in with me. Let me teach you how to lead. Let me teach you how to teach. And I'll just say from a personal standpoint, some of my greatest memories as a child in church was not listening to the preacher. I forget many of the names of the elders that I had as I was going through elementary school. But I think I can remember each and every single Bible class teacher I had. I can remember the time they took out of their day to teach me the Bible. I can remember All the effort they put into decorating a classroom to look nice, getting certain things. For me, as maybe a 5 or 6 year old little boy, I can remember that they took the time to teach me. They wanted to. Go back and look at that list on the back of your bulletin, what it means to be a shepherd, to be a leader. Well, they were loving my soul enough to teach me. They were tending, helping tend the flock by trying to cultivate and teach about Christ. I think one of the greatest things we can do is leading in this church. You may never be a shepherd or a deacon, but you can lead by just simply taking the time, maybe teaching a Bible class, maybe leading the congregation in worship, even just simple as bringing your family to services. You are setting an example for not only the family, but the entire congregation that you want to be here and you want to be active because you want to serve God. And that's a role of leadership. For some reason, we leave the leadership roles in the church up to the elders and deacons. And we say, well, they've been appointed. But in all reality, we all lead on a daily basis. And a leader strives to feed others the Word of God. And it strives to lead people to Christ and guard each other's lives from sin and care for the lost souls in this world. And if we are doing these things, then we are leading. And we are leading the way God wants us to lead. And this whole month, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the importance of what it means to be a relator, but more importantly, what it means to be someone who can relate to God's people and relate to the people in this world so that we can lead them to Christ. So that we can make an impact on their lives with the Word of God. What happens when God's people don't lead the way they're supposed to? How can I be an effective leader in the kingdom of God? Well, it starts right here. It starts by making an effort to be here, to learn, to grow, so you can help others grow as well. If we're not letting the shepherds and the leaders of this church lead us, how can we be in turn a leader to those around us? Another place that we lead every day is in the home. We might not think about it, but we lead in the home every single day. And if you're a parent, I think you understand exactly what this means, but not just from an authoritative standpoint. I think every child needs a good, godly example in the home. Emphasis on the godly example. I've made this point here before, but children can get good leadership anywhere. I think children can go to school and have good teachers, good leadership, good principals, good leadership. They might even be being led by their peers. But are they getting godly leadership at home? Are we instilling what it means to be godly to our children? What it means to obey God to our children? Are we teaching them to love God, to love being at services, to love being at Bible class? Are we teaching them what it means to not gossip and not talk about people behind their backs? Are we teaching them what it means to serve others as Christ served us? Are we teaching them the importance of being here and being active? Are we reading our Bibles? Are we singing songs? The list can go on, and things that we've talked about and probably heard about from the time you were young. But the idea is, if we're not leading in the home, if we're not leading in the home, then we shouldn't be surprised when a child decides to turn away from God. I once sat and did the math about, on average, how much time we spend in church versus how much time we spend at home or in other places. And see, what happens is so many times we say that the church needs to teach the children, or we say that the church needs to do more to help the kids or to help ourselves, whatever it is. And really what I found out in doing the simple math of how many hours we spend a week in the church building, we spend less than 1% of our time in church. Less than 1% of our time is spent in this building. But yet we put so much focus on, if the church doesn't do their job, then kids aren't going to grow up the way they need to grow. No, it starts with godly leadership in the home. And I can't speak for the elders, but I think I can on this point. I think they found this aspect so important that not only are we going to look at what it means to lead in the home, but the whole last quarter of this year is going to be solely on this topic of raising God's standard in the home. Because if we don't have godly leaders in the home, then what good are we really doing for our children? Families need parents, need leaders to show them what it means to serve God. Just like we're a family here, we need our leaders, our shepherds, to show us what it means to serve God. And just like our leader Christ showed us what it meant to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow God. Lastly, as we close this morning, we lead even when no one is watching. Now listen, this might be hard for us to understand. There are many times where I feel like if no one is around, we can kind of, you know, just loosen up a little bit. We might be able to get away with certain things when nobody else is watching. But part of having integrity and character and honor is even when nobody else is watching, we are still leading. That is, we are still serving other people. Maybe they'll never know. We are still striving to do what God wants us to do. We are still wanting to lead other people to Christ, even when no one is watching. Because we never know when maybe little eyes are watching. We never know when the things we do in private can become public. And maybe they will never become public, but the things we do when no one is watching, God is watching. And He sees us cultivating a relationship with Him and with other people. He sees us leading because we want to serve other people. He sees us being an example to the flock. He sees us doing all these things because we want to lead to the best of our ability. You know, all these things are kind of preliminary things for where we're going here in the next several months. And if there's one thing I want you to get from what we're talking about this morning, it's the fact that every single one of us have a responsibility. Every single one of us have a responsibility to God and to God's people and to our children and to the people of this church to lead the way God wants us to lead. And what we need to stop doing is we need to stop telling our elders, well, we expect this out of you while nothing is expected out of us. Yeah, we expect a lot out of our shepherds, and I think rightfully so. Because I think God expects a lot out of our shepherds. And I think we have shepherds that are trying to do just that. They're trying to be shepherds. They're trying to shepherd God's flock. But each and every one of us has a responsibility as well. I want you all to think back for just a second. Think back to your teachers. Think back to your coaches, your band leaders, whatever it is. We've all had someone in our life that has been a leader at some point to us. Now, some people come to your mind because they were good, your favorites. Right, I can name my favorite teachers to you right now. I'll never forget their names. In fact, my mom still subs at the school that I grew up at, and she'll say, you know, Miss Shalio, Miss Mater, they all say hi. I see them all the time. They were good teachers. But I'll tell you this, I also remember the bad. I remember the bad leaders I had too, and I'm sure you do too. I can think of bad teachers that I still know their name, but for the very opposite reason of the other good teachers, right? And I remember how bad they were, how horrible. I've had bad Bible class teachers. I've had bad experiences in churches. And I will never forget the bad leadership that I've seen. Now, you know, here's the point of me bringing this up. Someday, in the future, another preacher might stand in front of this congregation or in a congregation wherever you attend, and might say, I want you to think of a good leader in your life. Will your name come up? I want you to think of somebody who was a bad leader, that when you think of someone that was just, that was bad, that you didn't care for, or their leadership or their guidance, bad influence, will your name come up? See, we don't think about the future. We all have expectations on the leaders in our lives, but for some reason we never think about how I might be leading someone else, even at this very moment. Parents, look at your kids. You're leading them one way or the other. One's to God, one's away from Him. Shepherds, I think we only have two here because the other two knew I was talking. No, I'm kidding. But the shepherds here, they're leading this flock one of two ways, towards God or away from Him. Deacons, you're the same. Every member here, we have an active role in whether we're going towards God or away from Him. Each and every single one of us has a position of leadership here to serve God to the best of our ability. Are you going to be good? Or are you going to be remembered as bad? It's a simple question. I'm so thankful we had a leader in Jesus Christ who was willing to come down here to give up all the glories of heaven and to simply serve. I think if there's one way we can describe His whole mission here on earth, it was to serve. He did it from the very beginning and He did it all the way to the very end by giving His life on the cross so that you and I can follow that example to serve others as well, to lead people and to lead people to heaven. That's what we're doing here. We're here to be in heaven. We're here to serve God, to serve others so that we can be in heaven someday. If you have not yet made the choice to give your life to Christ, to start serving Him, don't wait a moment longer. Don't wait until it's too late. Start leading today. Start your life brand new today by being baptized in the waters of forgiveness. If there's anything we can do for you, come forward as we stand and as we sing.